Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're going to read. I need this to be recorded because this is I'm speaking to the whole first canto, second canto, third canto. So someone could.
You're doing the recording, huh?
Yes. Okay. Canto 3, chapter 19, text number 33. Give a little background because it's nice when you hear something that know the message in context. Come forward. We're friendly. Thank you. Go back to the beginning of the third canto. Very early in the third canto. The sages, headed by Shaunaka, remember something back from the first canto. Canto 1, chapter 13, where Sutta Goswami said, Vidura, after being insulted in the royal assembly by Duryodhana, he left and went on pilgrimage. And it was a long pilgrimage, 34-year pilgrimage. He didn't just go visit Vrindavan for half a day and take some pictures and come back. He was going to holy places for a long time. And then he heard from Maitreya, and then he became enlightened, and then he came back and delivered Dhritarashtra. That's chapter 13. So, beginning of Canto 3. And back in Canto 1, you said, Vidura went on pilgrimage. Could you tell us about the pilgrimage? And he must have met some great sages. Could you tell us what he heard from those great sages? It must have been really wonderful. You said he heard from Maitreya. So, put Maitreya together with Dura must have been really fantastic. You have any recordings of that? No. Could you narrate the exchange between the two? So that's how the canto begins. And then Sutta is very pleased by his question, and he describes the places he visited, Vidura visited. Then he describes Vidura reaching Vrindavan. And lo and behold, in Vrindavan, who does he find? But Uddhava. Uddhava! How wonderful meeting you here in Vrindavan. And as soon as you see Uddhava, who do you think of? Krishna. How is Krishna and Balaram? And he goes through the whole list of everybody, the who's who in Dwarka. Because Uddhava's most intimately associated with Krishna outside of Vrindavan. And Krishna's primary residence was in Dwarka. So, how is everybody doing? By name, he mentions them all. All you have to do to Uddhava is say just the name Krishna, and something happens. He became overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. He went into a trance, a Krishna trance. The Bhagavatam says he went to Krishna. His body was sitting there, but he went to Krishna. A absorbed in thought of Krishna to the degree that he was with Krishna. And because he's a devotee and he wants to serve other devotees, right? Devotees like to serve other devotees. And Vidura is an intimate associate of Krishna, so he struggled and struggled to come to external consciousness again so that he could fulfill the request of the devotee, Vidura. And then he began to speak, and he spoke for 2 chapters. You know, he had his Krishna body, he just talked Krishna, 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 Krishna. 3 main sections. A section about the pain that he feels, not just the separation from Krishna, but the mystery of Krishna, when Krishna acts like an ordinary person, people think him ordinary. And this gives me great pain because he knows he's not ordinary. And, you know, incident after. So, Krishna's pastimes to Uddhava, specifically, the pastimes were, and if Krishna acts and speaks as if he's one of us, he doesn't get bewildered. He gets pained. Because he knows some people think he's ordinary. And that brings him great pain. Spiritual pain. And then he goes on describing Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And then there's a whole other chapter, Krishna's pastimes outside of Vrindavan. Some of you may know, Rupa Goswami wrote 2 dramas, Lalita Madhava and Vidugdha Madhava. Actually, the first one was Vidugdha. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes out of Vrindavan. It says following the Bhagavatam. It wasn't like creative writing. He describes pastimes in Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan that we don't find in the Bhagavatam, because Rupa Goswami had the capacity to enter into, not just know about, he could enter into Krishna's pastimes. He was like Uddhava. He could be with Krishna and take part in Krishna's pastimes. Rupa Goswami was, there's a technical term, Saraswati, mentioned in Brahma Samhita. That was his capacity. Not just meditate on, he could enter into and participate in. And so he discloses some of those pastimes in these 2 dramas, Krishna Vrindavan, Krishna out of Vrindavan. So Uddhava is describing to Vidura Krishna's pastimes in these 2 situations. So, something very important. When he says, Uddhava says that I have to, they talked all night long. And it was early morning. Uddhava says, Krishna left this world. And he gave me some service to do before he left. And that's part of the pain of separation that he's feeling. So I have to go and deliver the message that Krishna spoke before he left. And but he told, so I'm going to go to the ashram of Narayan Rishi. We heard about Narayan Rishi yesterday, if you remember. They resided in an ashram in Badrinath, Gandamandana Mountain, if you remember, in this slide. So I'm going to go there, to Badri, way, 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 way up in the Himalayas, and perform a service that Krishna gave me. But before Krishna left, he also said, very soon, Vidura is going to come. And when he comes, tell him that he should hear from Maitreya, because Maitreya was also hearing Urdhva Gita in the 11th canto. So Vidura is very sad, transcendentally sad, Krishna's gone. And transcendentally happy that Krishna thought of him just before he left. He mentioned his name just before he left. He felt, you know, very honored to have Krishna thinking of him. So in that emotional state, he went in the direction that Uddhava sent him. He found Maitreya. And then there's this lovely description of the meeting of the two. Vidura, just like the sages, headed by Shaunika, said, Vidura is so elevated. He's the son of, you heard yesterday, the son of Yamaraj. He's known as Dharmaraj, or the son of Dharmaraj. Very elevated. Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajans. Very elevated. And Maitreya, great, great personality. And not only he's a great personality, but he heard Krishna speaking directly, and he's going to speak what he heard Krishna speak directly. If you can't hear Krishna speak, then hear from somebody that heard Krishna speak. And is an elevated soul, because that means they can repeat what Krishna said transparently. They can just pass on that sound vibration, although it will come from their voice as Krishna speaking. Literally, it's Krishna speaking, not figuratively. So, Canto 3, Chapter 4, 5, Vidura meets Maitreya. They have this wonderful exchange between the two. And there's a whole chapter of Vidura asking questions that make up about 2.5 cantos. It's Sutta speaking about the conversation between Maitreya and Uddhava. It's important because that's the verse. This is Shaunaka hearing from Sutta Goswami about that conversation. So, very interestingly, the first topic that Vidura wants to hear from Maitreya is about creation. You know, he could hear about Krishna's pastime to Vrindavan. That'd be cool. But he goes to creation. He's not that he isn't educated in the Vedas. He knows. He wants to hear authoritatively. Very important. It's the message of this morning verse. He wants to hear authoritatively, not just the information, but the realization, the heart-transforming sound vibration of Maitreya. So there's a long description about creation and the birth of Lord Brahma and Brahma's enlightenment and what Brahma does, the sub-creation, sarga visarga, and the details and details and details. Details is like really complex. If you don't like details, you can skip that part because it's filled with details about how it works. But it takes away the sentiment that says, God created heaven and earth. Or, you know, the statement, it's not a wrong statement, but, you know, from Genesis, God said, let there be light, and so was. But how did that happen? That's like pretty zoom. There's details, and details, and details. Details. And then comes the creation, and then comes filling up the creation. And so, one of the filling up the creation items is this situation where this chapter 19 and 18 is Kashyapa Muni is one of the direct sons of Lord Brahma. There are a number of direct sons of Lord Brahma because Lord Brahma has to fill up the universe that he just created on behalf of Krishna, of course. And he needs people who are going to help him. So he creates Prajapatis. And Kashyapa is one. And there's details of the wives of Kashyapa. They're Dakshas and daughters. That story is told in the fourth canto. But Diti and Antiti were among the wives of Kashyapa. And Antiti has a number of sons who became demigods, and one of them is Vamana. Kashyapa and Aditi were the mother and father of an incarnation of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the form of Vamana. Then Diti became envious of her sister, saying, you know, I want a child too. So she approached, this is in this canto, she approached Kashyapa at an improper time, in an improper way, and I want a child. And she was pretty insistent and pretty, like, out of control. Kashyapa, unwisely, but it's part of the Lord's pastime that he did so, he yielded to her request, but saying, because this is an inauspicious time, sons will be born, they'll be demons. So Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu became born. But Kashyapa said, but the good news is, he'll be killed by the personality of Godhead who will be delivered. So did he knew all this? So this chapter 18, chapter 19 is the story of the killing of Hiranyaksha by Lord Varaha, a form of Lord Vishnu. And the verse that we just before this morning verse, it's over. The narration is over. And Hiranyaksha is delivered. Lord Varaha returns to his transcendental abode, and it's Maitreya fulfilling a request of Vidura about the process of creation. And Sutta is narrating this to the sages. So that's the context. Now we're ready for the verse. So it's Sutta speaking, Sutta Uvacha. Iti koshāravākyātam āśrutya bhagavat katam bhagavat bhagavat katā kṣatānandam param vede maha bhagavato dvija maha bhagavat. Great devotee, Prabhupada's translated it. And Dvija, he's referring to Shaunaka. Sutta speaking to Shaunaka. Shaunaka is a Dvija, a Brahmana. So Sutta Goswami continued, my dear Brahmana, Shaunaka and all the other sages, Kṣata, or Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kosharava or Maitreya. And he was very pleased. Here's a Bhagavad Gita quiz question. I was surprised that Prabhupada doesn't mention this. Bhagavad Gita verse. What's the Bhagavad Gita verse that says the same thing as what this verse says? It's one of the four essential verses of the whole Bhagavad Gita canto, chapter 10, text number 10.
It is about my devotees dwelling in me, about discussing with one another.
Katayantascha mamityam tushyanti cha brahmanti cha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what do the devotees do that once they achieve perfection? It's 10.9 Bhagavad Gita. Katayantascha mamityam. They engage in discussing topics about me, nityam, always. And tushyanti cha. Tushti means satisfied. Their hearts become satisfied. And Ramantija, Rama, great happiness, pleasure, spiritual pleasure. Tushantija, Ramantija. So Vidura has been just heard this really fantastic description from Maitreya, and he's feeling Tushanti and Ramanti. Very satisfied, very happy, his heart is joyful. Purport. If anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, he must hear from the authoritative source, as explained here. Maitreya heard the narration from his bona fide spiritual master, and Vidura also heard from Maitreya. In fact, that's what the previous verse says. All this that Maitreya says to Vidura, all this that I just narrated, I heard from my spiritual master. This has been narrated by me as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. And Vidura also heard from Maitreya. One becomes an authority simply by presenting whatever he has heard from his spiritual master. And one who does not accept a bona fide spiritual master cannot be an authority. There's three different categories of non-authority persons who speak. One is like a scholar. And they may not accept the shelter of a spiritual master, but study something, hear something, read something, speak something. That's not the accepting of authority. That doesn't give one spiritual power or spiritual authority. This is clearly explained here. If one wants to have transcendental pleasure, you must find a person with authority. It is also stated in the Bhagavatam that simply by hearing from an authoritative source, with the ear and the heart, one can relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, it is not possible. Sanatana Goswami, there's a verse in the second canto of Bhagavatam that says, one of the early first verses of Canto 2, Chapter 1. One should hear Prabhupada use the word ardently. Like, ardent means intense, strong, tivra, very strong. And with ear as well as with the heart. Then happiness, transformation and happiness comes. Cleansing, transformation and happiness comes. Not the mechanical kind. Hearing with the ear and the heart. From the proper source. Sanatana Goswami, therefore, has especially warned that one should not hear anything from the personality of the Lord from the lips of a non-devotee. That's a reference from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Don't hear from non-devotees. So there's two categories. Somebody that's scholarly, that hears from, maybe even hears from a proper source, but they don't really submit to that authority. I visit China, just an example. I visit China. And I just received word from one of the places that I visit in China that there's this Chinese fellow, and he got some of Prabhupada's books, and he selected some things from Prabhupada's books that he liked, and then he made his own organization. And he started speaking his own ideas, some of Prabhupada's ideas. You know, Krishna says, it's not stuff that Krishna says, it's what this fellow says, but there's some things that are, that resemble what Krishna says. So he attracted a little following. He's not a big personality, but the culture in China is once you have a teacher, there's respect. You know, it's different than the West. No respect. Challenge authority. But in China, there's still some culture. And so there's this teacher that's got his followers that's, you know, speaking some things and, you know, cheating the rest of the way. So there's a devotee preacher that visited in this city, and he just happened to meet some of these followers, and they thought they were following something genuine, but when they met the devotees, they found they weren't following something genuine, but it was difficult for them because of culture to leave the bogus fellow and, you know, to take something genuine. They want the genuine thing. But culturally, they're confused. So the idea is just give them association and prasadam and kirtan, and that their hearts become transformed. Because that, the point is, without authority, one can't be transformed. And someone can move from point A to point B, but it's in the material field. I can't move to the spiritual position without spiritual authority. So then another category number two is the non-devotee. And we're going to hear category number three. But a non-devotee. Non-devotees are considered like serpents, semicolon. As milk is poisoned by a serpent's touch, so, although the narration of the pastimes of the Lord is as pure as milk, when administered by serpent-like non-devotees, it becomes poisonous. Not only does it have no effect in transcendental pleasure, but it is dangerous also. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned that no description of the pastimes of the Lord to be heard from the Mayavad, that's number three, right? Not just a non-devotee, but an inimical person or impersonalist. He has clearly said, Mayavadi Bhashya Shuni Lehaya Sarvanash. Bhashya means commentary. Mayavadi Bhashya Shunive. Everything becomes destroyed. Haya Sarva Nash. If anyone hears the Mayavad's interpretation of the pastimes of the Lord, or their interpretations of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other Vedic literature, then he is doomed. Once one is associated with impersonalists, he can never understand the personal feature of the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. Of course, on his own he can't, but that Mayavadi, through devotee association, can become a devotee. On his own he can't, because otherwise you've got a problem. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadishatyarini. The whole, what to speak of places in India, the whole world, our prana mantra to Prabhupada is that he's delivering the Western countries which are filled with impersonalism and voyeurism, delivering the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means we've all been infected to some degree by impersonalism. It's start with mechanistic science. You go to 8th grade science class and you get contaminated, poisoned. Big Bang. Everything comes from nothing. No need for God. Chemical evolution. This is pervasive. So on one's own, one can't understand, but through association of devotees, one can. Final paragraph. Sutta Goswami was speaking to the sages headed by Shaunaka, and therefore he addressed them in this verse as Dvija, twice born. The syllable Ja, just like in Krishna, Janmastami, Ja or Janma, refers to birth, and Dvija is twice born. The sages assembled in Nainisharanya, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sutta Goswami, were all brahmanas, but to acquire the qualifications of a brahmana is not everything. Merely to be twice born is not perfection. Perfection is attained when one hears the pastimes and activities of the Lord from a bona fide source. This is repeated over and over in various ways in the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada naturally, because he's commenting, providing the Bhaktivedanta purports, says it again and again, and again and again, and again and again, such that devotees who read Prabhupada's books are very clear about the necessity of hearing from a proper source. And those that don't have that advantage or opportunity to receive Prabhupada's books, or have some but don't read them, then they'll not be properly discriminating about where they hear from and get confused. We've all met people that are confused. Sometimes some people are really like mega confused. And they want something genuine, but they're anchored to the so many things that they've heard that are in conflict with other things that they've heard, and what to speak of the message of disciplic succession. It's a very unfortunate. It's the symptom of the age of Kali. Quarrel and confusion and hypocrisy, and not easy. It's not easy to extract someone from that condition either. But the hope is just be instruments of disciplic succession and repeat what one has heard as transparently as possible with faith and conviction that the message heard from the proper source is very spiritually powerful. Even we may not be so spiritually powerful. The message is very spiritually powerful. Somehow it acts, because Krishna's potencies are invested in his topics, in his name, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So we can just be little perambulatory broadcaster systems. We hear and we transmit. Keep your receiver on. Let it enter your heart, just like this says, you know, with the ear and the heart. Then the transformation can take place. I want to make two other references, and then I'll end. I've been preparing for the next festival of the Holy Name, which will then later become a japa retreat. Be conducted in different parts of the United States. But the introductory verse, the theme of this festival, Holy Name, comes from nectar of instruction. And the verse, text number 7, says the same thing as what we just read. It's quite similar. The translation of text 7, the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy, although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet. It is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens with his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So, emphasis is going to the name, but Charita Adi. Charita means activities. Krishna's pastimes, hearing Krishna's pastimes. But we have to hear Krishna's pastimes, or his qualities, or his form, or because any one of these, according to Rupa Goswami's teachings in Nectar of Devotion, they're stimulations for ecstatic love. They're very powerful, very potent. They seem like, you know, it's just nice, or maybe even fantastic. Like Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill, it's fantastic. But there's potencies invested in these pastimes. It's more than just like hearing a nice story that children can sit and not get fidgety. They like hearing Krishna's pastimes. But there's a spiritual potency invested in those pastimes, charita. And heard from the right source, they're stimulations for ecstatic love. But before the ecstatic love becomes stimulated, there has to be the removal of avidya, the disease of the conditioned soul. What's the disease of what's the root cause, not just like the symptoms? You know, like allopathy treats symptoms, and natural medicine treats the cause of the symptoms. So what's the cause of the symptoms of material existence?
Identifying the self with the body.
Yeah. It's in Prabhupada's words, it's avidya. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The root of all ignorance is ignoring Krishna. That's the original ignorance. And from that original ignorance comes little ignorances, little babies, from mama ignorance. And from ignorance comes ignorant desire, because desire is of the soul. So if the soul ignores Krishna, then there's ignorant desire. And from ignorant desire comes ignorant activity, and we become implicated in the network of actions and reactions in the material field, and you can't extract yourself once you're in that network. You're covered by ignorance. Even there's something that's the medicine, was not attracted to the medicine. It's considered bitter, not sweet. But the medicine is sweet. But you see, the jaundice, so it's compared to jaundice. You've all heard this. I don't know if anybody has ever had jaundice, but I had some years ago, quite many years ago. I was in Vrindavan, and I was staying, it was during a festival time, so everything was filled up, so they had us stay years ago in Fogo Ashram, which is down the street from the temple. And at that time, that was better. But they didn't have screens on the windows, and so the mosquitoes were all over the place. And I woke up at night having been bitten by a mosquito, was thinking, uh-oh, I hope he wasn't carrying malaria. And sure enough, within days, I came down with malaria. Malaria is a disease that affects the liver. And the disease of jaundice, of the liver disease, its cure is sweet rock candy. Rock candy is like condensed, solid sugar. But it tastes bitter. I have direct experience. No. Rock candy is not bitter. But when you're jaundiced, it tastes bitter. But you take the medicine because it helps the liver overcome the liver disease of malaria or jaundice. And then the sweetness comes. Then you're cured. Then you can stop taking the rock candy. But with the chanting of the holy name, it's sweet. But it doesn't taste sweet because of the jaundice-like condition of avidya covering us. But we chant anyway. And the principle of chanting is something that's given to us through sources like Rupa Goswami or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said so on the authority of the scripture, and taught it to Rupa Goswami, who taught teaching it to us, or just at its inception. We receive from spiritual teachers teachings. And we're indebted to those teachers who give us proper teachings in specific succession, because then the jaundice condition can be counteracted. One more verse and then I'm done. There is a verse very similar to what we just read in chapter 19 of Canto 3. And it's from 11th Canto. You can look it up later, it's a nice verse. 11th Canto, chapter 2, text 37. It starts, famous verse, Vayam Dutiyam Abhiniveshitak Syat Ishada Peta Shiva Paryayo Smritihi. That's the first half. So, in short, the verse says, Vayam, or fear, arises when one is absorbed in things that are temporary and tries to be the enjoyer of those things that are temporary. And Ishada Petasha, one has like an attitude or some aversion, some negative feeling towards the supreme, the one who actually owns or is the proprietor of the temporary. And one forgets oneself. Vipariyo smriti, if you're in Maya. You're so covered by the jaundice-like condition of avidya. Same, you know, forget who you are, you identify with the body. And all of the identification with the body has this prior cause, is aversion to Krishna. So aversion to Krishna results in you want to become the enjoyer of that which is Krishna's. And you get bewildered, and you feel fear. Because you're a thief. Krishna's property, and you're trying to make it your property. No good. This nice man, we had the chance to speak with this nice man from Uzbekistan yesterday. He's been practicing Krishna consciousness for 4 months. And he was sharing with his, because it was his birthday recently, so his daughter came from college to visit him. He was sharing this like very openly. I don't think he'll mind by sharing it with you. And so he started explaining to his daughter, in the last couple of days, how in the 4 months Krishna consciousness has helped him. He feels he and his wife have been changed a lot. And one of those changes is exactly this point. I used to think my home, my wife, my children, I and mine. And now I'm thinking differently. And I'm sharing this with his daughter. You're Krishna's part and parcel, and my wife is Krishna's part and parcel, and your sisters are Krishna's. And Krishna's given me an opportunity to serve each of you in my capacity as father or husband. But it's just a role of service to Krishna. You're not mine. 4 months. I mean, that can take years and years and years, what to speak of not getting it even after years and years. But it's powerful. Bhakti. Taken up properly, the bhakti process is proper. Just like you said, who knows how many lifetimes I've been practicing Krishna processes. This lifetime for 2 years, but hey. However long it takes, the process of bhakti is sufficiently powerful to take away that jaundiced condition or relieve one of the unwanted miseries of material existence and bring one to the position of transcendental happiness. Because that's something we all want. And it's not bad to want, it's natural for us. But wanting transcendental happiness means the position of being the servant, not the position of being the enjoyer. We enjoy by not trying to be the enjoyer. We enjoy by trying to be the servant. And that's going to be one of the messages from this festival of the Holy Name, to be the servant of the name on behalf of or under the instruction of the spiritual master. So here's the second half of that verse from Canto 11, Chapter 2. Tanmayayato buddha abhajettam bhakyaika yesham guru devatatma, which translates, so you get the maya part. Tanmayayato buddha. Buddha means intelligence. So this bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person, this Buddha person, should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. This is Guru Devatatma. So it connects with the verse that we read here where Vidura is experiencing bliss, Tushti and Rama. He's very satisfied. He's been traveling for 34 years simply to purify himself from having this contaminating association with Duryodhana. And all the intrigue in Hastinapur. Because he was right in the thick of it. And it's dirty. And he wanted to cleanse himself. So all this visiting of holy places and hearing of saintly people, now He's achieved the fulfillment of all of that purification, hearing directly from Maitreya. His illusion is gone. Whatever traces of identification with the temporary body or otherwise, and trying to be the enjoyer of those things, it's gone. And when that Maya influence is gone, the abhiniveshita, dvitiyam abhinivesh, his absorption in the temporary, is gone. The happiness is there, the heart is open, he can hear. And he's hearing, and he's delighted. So, this is possible according to this verse, Canto 11, Chapter 2, by the guidance of the Guru, who is to be taken as Deva, Devata, Atma. Devata, you know what Devatas are, that's demigod. So, the Lord, it can also mean his Master and Lord. And Atma, Atma, his very own self. So the instructions are to be taken as one's life and soul. This is a verse from Bhagavad Gita. The chapter 2, text 41, this one that speaks of Bhuti Yoga, where the intelligence of the person who is fixed in devotion is very singular, and they're not distracted by anything that's out there, the world of duality. They're fixed. And how does one, Prabhupada explains, how does one become fixed like that, taking the instructions of the spiritual master as life and soul? Same language as used here. There's that sound vibration, opening one's heart to that sound vibration. And then the fearful condition of material existence is gone. When you turn the light on, darkness is dispelled. When it's dark, it's fearful, especially if you don't know where you are. And it's foolish if you think you know where you are, but you don't. You go forward and crash into some object that you couldn't see because it was because of darkness. So the material condition, conclusion. The material condition is dismissed. Gradually, like the rising of the sun, the darkness of night is gradually dissipated and gone. So as with the rising of the sun, so also the process of hearing from the authoritative source with both the ear and the heart cleanses this consciousness, and the spiritual happiness that we're all hankering for is ours. Something it's not just we hear about it in a book. One can experience it directly. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Any discussion? Yes?
Impersonal tendencies.
Yes.
Even,
I can hear you.
Even though practicing devotional practice for years, but still there are some that I don't even know and some that I know. So is it that just continuing the process, it will go automatically, or something specific should be done to get over the interesting tendencies that I have?
Well, both. Not one or the other. The horse pulls the cart to make sure the horse is in the front in pulling the cart. But then you can adjust things in the cart as you're moving forward. So that what's in front is the bhakti process. Bhajana Kriya, in Rupa Goswami's language, emotional practice. And following the strength, spiritual strength and intelligence that comes from the bhakti process that awakens, it's already there, it just awakens, then one can do some tidying up of things that are out of place. So one of the key essential elements, and it's going to be in our Japa retreat, the first, or the festival of the first morning class, is seeing Krishna's name as himself. It's not just a process to get us somewhere, and then we, you know, utilitarian or mercantile or impersonal. It's personal. Our process of awakening, our service to Krishna, is through the holy name, which means serving the holy name as a person. We're associating with a person. That's very powerful, and that will help enormously in the matter of overcoming impersonal tendencies. Starting, because it starts within, everything is within the name, and it starts right there. You'll hear some more. Go ahead.
Guru Maharaj, like this taste, like jaundice condition, when one is diseased with jaundice, like physical disease with jaundice, even though that candy doesn't taste sweet, but still people take it. But in case of spiritual ignorance, it's difficult. Even though people are in ignorance, but the solution is the process of devotional service, process, chanting the holy name. But even though we are in that condition, but like until that little taste comes, people don't want to take it. So just what can be done actually to you know, that ignite that initial taste, as you mentioned, that as a devotee it's like be an instrument of a message of the succession. So as a, you know, just trying to help somebody to come.
Well, there's different things. Depends on the person and the circumstance. Find somebody they do like. Yet people generally like prasadam. So, that's one option. You know what to do. That's one option. Then find out something else they like. Some people like to read. Give them literature. Some people just like to do some service. Give them some service. Let them become absorbed in the bhakti process in some way or another. Universal is prasad. Almost universal is prasad.
Then, like,
Prabhupada
mentioned that what happens many times is that, like, you know certain person for years, like maybe 5-6 years, and it's just still sticking to that one thing. So then what do you do? Like, you invest your energy or just leave it?
Well, it depends on the person what you should do. It depends on the relationship that you have with the person what you should do. It's, you know, then you can start expanding maybe this, maybe that, maybe that, you know, but it depends on the person, the relationship with the person. So they should go continue taking prasadam. So the very thought, the well-wishing thought towards another soul is beneficial for the other souls, even if you don't do anything, say anything. Because the well-wishing of a devotee towards a soul, Krishna's mercy goes to that person. Just become more spiritually qualified, and that's something you can do for that person. Yeah.
Maharaj, hearing directly from authoritative source.
Yeah.
Which you just spoke about, but when you have realization in your heart. Say, Chaitya Guru, you're mowing the lawn or something, and you have this realization. Now, to separate from, is this a hallucination that I'm having? Is this an actual realization? What is the proper etiquette in approaching sadhu, sastra, to
Well, you in a it's right in scripture, but you go to those any one of the Guru Sadhu Shastra, and you hold up your realization to the light of those three, and you're not accepting that it's valid until you get verification. And if the immediate opportunity isn't there, then you don't invest value in it until you go on reading. And just through commonly Super Soul arranges that the multitude of things that are in Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports, something will help highlight its validity or invalidity. But in principle, we don't move with that Chaita Guru understanding, because it can just be the mind. Mm-hmm. Commonly, not always, commonly is the mind. Mano Dharma is called. Mm-hmm. So we don't go with that. Mm-hmm. We're not like fearful. We're just careful.
Is there any proper etiquette to present?
Submissively. That's all. This came. I'm looking for, for clarification. Is it something I should invest value in, or does it need modification or what? Just submissive inquiry. Pranipat. From Bhagavad Gita. Tadviti. Pranipatena. Pariprashnena. Prashna. The inquiry should be with pranipat, with submission. That's all. Part of the problem with that one is self-deception. I look for the answer is going to validate, and I don't even hear something that doesn't validate, and I try to find the thing that validates. Because really it's not about seeking clarification or verification, it's about validation. Me. And ego. That's not helpful. Something else? Yeah.
I have a question, Maharaj. In your class you were saying that we should listen this knowledge from a spiritual master, right? And
we should hear from an authoritative source.
Yeah.
Yes. Spiritual master, yes.
And then we have to repeat this to the people. Then we listen and then we repeat the same.
And that makes one authoritative if you do that. Makes you authoritative if you do that.
Yeah, so, but what happens in this, in mostly like, we listen like 100%, but we remind only 90% or 70%, and then when we teach only 50%, right? So the knowledge is, there is not some knowledge gap.
That's okay. You serve according to your capacity. And you become purified, and your capacity increases as you become purified. Serve according to capacity. And follow the right principles.
You mentioned about when Uddhava was hearing, and whenever anybody considered Krishna as ordinary, it gave him a spiritual pain.
Yes.
What
yes.
Can you emphasize more on that? Can you clarify how exactly
gave him spiritual pain? Or what is spiritual pain?
Yeah.
What is spiritual pain? That's what you want to know.
Yes.
Well, different than material pain, spiritual pain is an obstruction in one's constitutional, natural feeling toward Krishna. And something that interferes with that positive, natural, spiritual, spontaneous feeling towards Krishna. That's spiritual pain.
It is like simultaneously
ecstatic and painful. It's the science of rasa. Secondary rasas strengthen the primary rasa. So the secondary rasa seems to be overwhelming or particularly prominent. But underlying that is the primary rasa. And that primary rasa becomes strengthened and enhanced by the secondary rasa. So it's a symptom of ecstasy. He went in trance. He's in ecstasy. Tears, trembling, hair standing on end. Lost external consciousness with Krishna. Then he's feeling this pain. So it's strengthening or enhancing the primary relationship with Krishna. Primary love for Krishna. That kind. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.